Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mike Blewett, Jim Day, Scott Engel on FST. We're taking you through all the rankings at each position. But big news of the day is injuries. Unfortunately, that is often the case with fantasy football, but I can't remember a week two where it was this rough. We're debating Aaron Rodgers being out, and we got Devontae Freeman is out. Josh Gordon and the Browns are dealing with a whole mess where he's going to be released and potentially traded, but definitely not going to be a Brown as of tomorrow. And then we have, who else? Leonard Fournette is unlikely to play, so that puts T.J. Yeldon in a starting spot. We still have the Le'Veon Bell thing hanging over us. I mean, think about this. This is week two. We're dealing with all this stuff. Who else am I missing? Tevin Coleman, Devonta Freeman, Leonard Fournette. You know, one running back we didn't even talk about that I wanted to mention. I completely blew past him because we were talking about so many other guys, and I have a fun note here, which I would highlight these things for a reason. Jamal Williams has 218 rushing yards and a touchdown in his past three games at home. We're dealing with Aaron Jones suspension still in Green Bay. While I don't think any of us are in love with the Green Bay running game, does he have some viability here? A deep tournament play or in a flex? It's a tough defensive matchup, but with Aaron Rodgers hurt, do they go to the run a little bit more? I'll go to Scott. I'm the first on that.
I think as long as Aaron Rodgers lives and breathes, this is a pass-first team, especially going against that Minnesota Vikings defensive front, which is the best defensive front. Pro Football Focus ranked their two tackles, you know, having the best combination in week one. You know, Sheldon Richardson is there playing at a Pro Bowl level already. It's going to be very hard to run on that team. They're going to have to have quick-hitting passes. The running game is just going to be non-existent.
Jim, thoughts on Jamal Williams?
I'm with Scott on this one. I've never been high on Williams to begin with, and against this defense, there's no way I could put him in my starting lineup. He might be a contrarian play for some in DFS, but I just don't like the matchup at all.
Okay, cool. So we'll go on to the big news, obviously, we know Josh Gordon, all those running backs potentially being out, and some are out. So that really is the news of the day. I think you need to be, as a fantasy football player, especially if you're in multiple leagues like I am, you need to be glued to your computer and your TV at like 11:35, because that's when all the inactive information will be spit out to you. It comes out at 11:30. It takes a couple of minutes for people to put it out there, but all over Twitter and the internet and television, they'll tell you about the inactives, especially the relevant ones, which you need to bench. Fournette owners, let me say this. He's unlikely to play, Scott, but what if he's active? What if Fournette's out there and active? Can you play him, and what does that do to Yeldon? Hypothetical.
I'm just taking it as I'm using Yeldon. I'm not going to speculate that he's going to play when I've seen two reports already that he's not. And even if he is, you know, what is he going to be, more than a decoy, or will he even get on the field? Will he just suit up and not be active? I'm not going to play around with those kind of scenarios.
Okay, so we'll go to the wide receivers, and I'll start down the list first because it's a similar conversation to the one we were just having. Jim, Devontae Adams, I don't know what to do with the reports right now with Devontae Adams being banged up, but let's just say he plays. You got to put him out there, correct?
If he plays, you got to put him out there, but I don't love him. Here's a nice little tidbit of information for you. When Rodgers is in the shotgun, when he operates out of the shotgun, Randall Cobb has been his favorite target. 17.4% of the time he drops back into that, he's targeting Randall Cobb. Last week, Rodgers was in the shotgun on 22 of 23 plays after his injury. So that really plays into Cobb's hands this week. But again, if Adams is out there, he's really hard to sit. He can hit a touchdown at any time.
Okay, so we'll go through Scott's rankings. It starts at the top of the list. PPR rankings for wide receivers. Antonio Brown tops the list at number one. And then we have DeAndre Hopkins at number two. Tyreek Hill at number three. Odell Beckham at number four. Julio Jones at number five. I have Julio in my DFS lineup on FanDuel and my cash lineup right now. I might play around with it a little bit, but I still like Julio to get some work done here against Carolina. As good as their defense is, their corners aren't great. So I think Julio can get some work done just like he did against Philly's corners a week ago. So Keenan Allen comes in at number six. Michael Thomas at number seven. A.J. Green at number eight. Stat on Michael Thomas. His 16 receptions surpassed Keenan Allen's 15 catches for most receptions in a single game on kickoff weekend in NFL history. How about that? In his past three, including the playoffs, he's had 31 catches for 396 yards and three touchdowns. So I'll pause there, Jim. Scott had A.J. Green at number eight. He's going to be higher than that based on those three short touchdowns. But your thoughts on that first eight?
Yeah, no, I can't really say I fault any of these picks. I mean, they're all pretty much going where they're going. The only one that might be a little bit of an issue is DeAndre Hopkins, and that's because he's playing with an injury. But outside of that, I mean, you know, Watson scares me. Look, you know, he had a great year last year while he was playing, but this preseason he didn't look very good. Last week he didn't look very good. You know, I'd like to see him bounce back. He gets Will Fuller back this week, although we don't know if he's 100%, but he will be playing. So when he has his two best receivers on the field, this will be the week we either see him or don't. He's either back or he's not.
Scott, I know it's in the past, but A.J. Green, three touchdowns, getting good targets early in the season, and obviously really good production for a guy who, as far as an elite wide receiver is concerned, he wasn't talked about too much. He was still going in the second round in almost every league that I was in, every draft that I was in, but he was falling late in the second round, and now you're getting a lot of production out of him early.
Yeah, and the one thing you have to remember going into today is if you played against A.J. Green, that doesn't mean you've lost your fantasy game. That was one player in one game, and, you know, if you have Tyreek Hill and he blows up, you know, you could even that out, like, right away. So a lot of people are saying, oh, I need upside for today because I played against A.J. Green or I already lost my game. You know, I've seen people play against Peyton Manning. He throws seven touchdown passes and they lose. So you can't assume that it's a win or a loss just because the first game was scheduled early.
Let's keep going through the rankings. Mike Evans at number nine, going up against Philly. Stephon Diggs at 10, Adam Thielen at 11. So Scott has the Minnesota duo back-to-back. Emmanuel Sanders at number 12, really nice production out of him in week one. I think that bodes really well for Manny Sanders being in the slot a lot this year. I think you're going to return huge value on Manny Sanders this week. I know it's a hot take after one game, but that's one of the guys I saw that I really loved the way things looked in week one. We'll see if that continues throughout the rest of the season. Juju Smith-Schuster at number 13. I hope he has a monster game. And Juju Smith-Schuster had five catches for 119 yards last week. He has 110-plus receiving yards in three of his past four. So Devontae Adams, we already talked about. Jarvis Landry, again, I think he's going to return huge value for those of you that drafted him. I just think that he's going to be heavily targeted in this offense. And he was being used downfield more in one week last week than he was basically in all of last year, in the last couple of seasons in Miami. T.Y. Hilton at 16. I'll pause there and go to you, Jim, first on any of those players that I mentioned.
Well, I love Landry this week, especially with Gordon being out. He's going to be a target monster again. Look, the one thing that people just don't talk about with Tyrod Taylor is that he's such a good downfield passer. He can get the ball downfield. He throws a better deep ball than he does short to intermediate ball. I'm not sure why that is, but it is. And I think that plays would have played more into Gordon's hands, but just without him, I think we start to see Landry really start to come to play. And you know, he's going to be a target monster each and every week, and he's got a, you know, as far as I'm concerned, a better quarterback now than he had when he's with Miami. So I think Landry is definitely somebody I target a lot. T.Y. Hilton is still scaring me, and it's not even because of him. It's, you know, Luck, if this trend continues, Luck is all of a sudden turned into a dink and dunk passer. He averaged 6.0 yards per attempt last week. That's little bit more than he was doing all preseason. We saw the running backs, especially Hines, get involved in that passing game. The two tight ends were both heavily involved. You know, Hilton is a great wide receiver, but he tends to push the field. If Luck can't go down the field, I think that tends to hurt him, and we may see him start to drop again, even though late in the draft season he was really being pushed up because people thought Luck was back.
Scott, I really avoided T.Y. Hilton in drafts for the reason that Jim just mentioned. I didn't see Luck push the ball down the field. I didn't see T.Y. Hilton at all, and I certainly didn't see the combo. So my concerns, at least through week one, were validated, but it's just one game. But to Jim's point, I do have concerns about it because Luck has thrown the ball 6 yards down the field.
Yeah, you know, it seems like he's turned into high percentage Andrew Luck, and I don't know if he's going to be able to throw the ball downfield this week. But still, I think if somebody catches a touchdown pass, it's highly likely that it's T.Y. Hilton. And he's probably working with him, on shorter routes, et cetera, as Andrew Luck probably over the course of the year will throw the deep ball more. And that's T.Y. Hilton's kind of thing. But I believe T.Y. Hilton's more of a complete receiver, just to the fact we can't write him off if he's not catching deep passes.
It's got to come right back to you with Kenny Stills. He had 106 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns, including a 75-yard touchdown catch last week in a really funky game. But he had 5 touchdown catches of 50-plus yards since 2015. It's tied for 5th most in the NFL. He had 85 receiving yards and 2 touchdown catches in their last meeting. And the Miami is facing the New York Jets in New York today. Let me see the spread on that one. I think it got down
really,
to the
Jets. Really? They moved the game?
The Jets. What? Yeah, it's in
New
York.
They moved the game? He said it's in New York.
It is. It is in New York.
It's in New Jersey. Is it?
Oh,
no, it's in Jersey.
I didn't know where you were going.
I thought that's where he was going.
So the Jets, the Jets are 2.5-point favorites. 42.5 is the over-under. My man Corey Parson helped me out with that one. So,
I'll take the over on that one.
Yeah, so you like a little bit of a shootout here today. And give me your thoughts, really, on Kenny Stills.
Yeah, the Dolphins' offense did look too bad last week. And, Tannehill actually once in a while can throw a pretty decent deep ball. And, this game, I think it's going to be competitive here. I do like the Jets' defense for some sacks and turnovers. They were very aggressive last week, but I think the Dolphins are going to play catch-up, and that kind of plays into Stills, being the guy there. Last week, 4 catches for 105 yards. I'd like to see him be more of a possession guy. We've never fully seen that from Stills yet, but if they're going to get in the end zone, and they will at some point, it's a very high percentage that Stills is the one catching that touchdown pass.
Jim, we had a question on Twitter from Jim Lorix. Who do you guys like better in DFS cash today, Adam Thielen or T.Y. Hilton? I'll just take FanDuel right now, and I can tell you that Adam Thielen is 7,600 and T.Y. Hilton is 7,200. Based on all the stuff we were just talking about and the pricing being so close, I'm going to go with Thielen. What are your thoughts, Jim?
I'm definitely going with Thielen in this one. Again, it's more about Luck than it is about Hilton. Until that changes, I'm a little leery. But Thielen, with Rodgers playing, he's going to put up points. So Minnesota's going to have to come back and put up points as well. So I look for Thielen to have a good game in this one. I definitely go with him.
So I'll keep going through Scott's rankings. Golden Tate at number 18, Demaryius Thomas at 19, Larry Fitz at 20. Nelson Agholor, a really good cash game value as it comes in at 21, Cooper Kupp at 22, Chris Hogan at 23, Allen Robinson at 24, Brandon Cooks at 25, Anunua 26, Funchess, Crowder, Galladay, and Cobb. So I'll stop there because you have a few guys there in that wide receiver 3 range that are very good now DFS values. Kenny Galladay is somebody that Daily Roto really loves this week. We've talked about Randall Cobb, whose price is really depressed, and you can get a lot of value at him. But Jim has talked a couple of times this morning about Aaron Rodgers and shotgun and how that favors Randall Cobb. So a few guys there in Galladay and Cobb and Agholor that are pretty interesting plays there, Scotty.
Yeah, and Agholor, what I think a very good matchup, a lot of injuries in that secondary. Really nice daily play today, I think. Last week it seemed like he had 8 catches for 8 yards, but I think he does a little bit better this week. I could see him catching up to 9 balls for you know, 70 yards and a touchdown or two, because that Tampa Bay secondary is just so weak. And with Galladay, San Francisco's secondary outside of Sherman, I think is very burnable and very vulnerable. So I like Galladay a lot this week.
Jim, a couple of more wide receivers that could be viable for DFS, but also speaking of them from a seasonal standpoint, you have Chris Godwin in Tampa going up against Philly, and then you have Mike Wallace, who did not catch a pass last week, but in that same game on DraftKings is a pretty interesting value going up against Tampa, whose two corners are out. So give me your thoughts on Godwin and Wallace in that game.
Well, I like Godwin a lot with good even with Deshaun Jackson playing. He's not going to be 100%. I think Godwin is a nice play here on DraftKings. He's at 4,600, so that it is a nice play. Although I'm going with Cobb over Godwin because of what we talked about earlier, but I think Godwin is going to be a good play. I'm not sure if Deshaun Jackson stays in the whole game. Just hard to count on at this point in his career that he does. So that worries me a little bit. But, you know, Godwin, Wallace, I go on the other hand, I don't trust Wallace at this point. Watching him last week, coming into the season, I loved getting him where I was getting him very late in drafts. I mean, last round in most drafts, you could pick him up and say, what the heck, especially with the injury to Alshon Jeffrey, I thought he would be a big play. But after watching him last week, he does not look like the same Mike Wallace. I mean, look, he's always been pretty much a one-trick pony, spread out the defense, you try to get over the top of the defense. And last week, he just didn't look like he had that same burst. And that scares me a little bit with him. If you're going to, you know, be that fast guy who runs that nine route most of the time, then you got to be able to get over the top. And we just didn't see that separation last week. So that scares me a little bit with him. There's a couple of guys in this range that I trust much more than him this week.
Hello.
Sneaky DFS play today, Shelton Gibson.
Okay, so we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about tight ends, wide receivers in the tournament plays in DraftKings and FanDuel. I'll give you those as well. We'll continue through the rest of the hour. We'll do survivor picks, picks against the spread, all kinds of fun stuff. So it's Mike, Jim, and Scott back right after this.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator, plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
Back on FST, it's Mike, Scott, and Jim. Give you a sense of the schedule for the rest of the day. We wrap up here in about 40 minutes, top of the hour. 10 o'clock Eastern, we go over to Lineup Lock Live. I stay here. You get to see my ugly mug on television along with Corey Parson and Gabe Morency. And they'll be there at 1 o'clock with me. Then I take my leave, and then it's Corey and Gabe. They're going to hang out for Fantasy Football Live until 4 o'clock. That's, got it. So Corey is with Chris Ventura today. And then Chris Welsh comes in for injury updates, performance updates. That's every half hour. And then from 4 to 8:30, it's Joe Galina and Cam Stewart. And George Kurtz comes in for the live scores, injury updates, and the performance updates every half hour. And then at the end of the day, these same two gentlemen that are with me this morning, Scott Engel and Jim Day, will do Fantasy Football Rewind. That's 8 to 10 Eastern, and you'll hear that throughout the night. So they'll give you good recaps of everything on the slate. One thing I didn't get to from a tournament standpoint, a few of the guys we talked about that these guys liked and that are liked on Daily Roto. By the way, we'll talk to Drew Dinkmeyer from Daily Roto in about 1 hour. He'll give us his favorite plays of the week and tell us about how successful he was in week one, which he was very. The site was in general, and Drew was personally. So some of the tournament plays for wide receiver, Jarvis Landry, which these guys both like. I have to eliminate Josh Gordon because that was an early pick this week. But we talked about Manny Sanders. Demaryius Thomas would probably be is a tournament pivot because he won't be as highly owned as some of the other guys we talked about. I think Corey Davis. But honestly, if Mariota can't really get out there, Corey Davis is really risky. The ownership will be low, so it's a differentiating point, but I don't know if you want to be out there. And then Juju Smith-Schuster. I think a lot of people are going to focus on Antonio Brown in a big matchup, which you should, and they'll pay up for him. But a pivot would be Juju Smith-Schuster, correct, Scotty?
Yeah, definitely, because you know that Kansas City defense is very, very vulnerable. And you know this is going to be a high-scoring game, I believe. You know, the over-under right now is 53, and I'm gonna take that. And, you know, like I said, last week my punt was Bruce Ellington. This week it's Shelton Gibson because I'm like Jim. I just don't like Mike Wallace at all. He's a 32-year-old former speedster who really doesn't have the speed anymore, and we really didn't see anything from him since he left for Miami. So if Nelson Aguilar and Zach Ertz are going to get a lot of defensive attention, I think Shelton Gibson could, you know, sneak a few plays in there.
He was a full participant on Friday. He's listed as questionable, but he was a full participant on Friday, to Scott's point about Shelton Gibson. Jim?
Yeah, no, I like it. It's definitely a sneaky play, and he won't be owned pretty much anywhere. So, I mean, if you want to go contrarian, that's definitely a good place to start. You know, he only had the two catches last week, but I think they definitely start to get him more involved, at least until Alshon Jeffrey comes back, and we don't even know when that's going to happen at this point.
I'm going to pause here.
I wasn't sure if Jim liked my pick or not because he said, yeah, no, I was confused.
Oh, sorry.
A couple important injury notes. I want to pause here because there was so much to do over the course of this show. To Scott's point about the Kansas City secondary being vulnerable, Chief Safety Eric Berry is listed as doubtful today. I think they have some cornerback issues in Kansas City, and they will throughout the year. This is going to be a shootout team a lot of weeks. Tennessee Titans offensive tackles Taylor Lewan with a concussion and Jack Conklin knee are both ruled out. That is brutal. The Titans... Did my Super Bowl pick have that backup lineman go out and they said Atlanta versus Tennessee.
Somebody off the street yesterday? Yeah.
Atlanta versus Tennessee. Wow.
That was my Super Bowl pick. And after week one, I couldn't feel
really
worse about
it. Contrarian.
I was. Anybody can pick the Patriots. I'm just, you know, just trying to do something different.
Did their
backup right tackle go down too?
Yeah, possible. They're hurt everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're on the third right tackle now because Dennis Kelly is in the hospital for an illness.
Yep.
So they had to go to Tyler Morris to bring in to start this week. So, yeah, it's not going to be pretty.
Chargers, love the Houston defense today.
Chargers wideout Travis Benjamin questionable to play in Buffalo. Minnesota Vikings center Pat Elflein, limited participant all week in practice, but he has already been declared out. Bills defensive end Shaq Lawson is out. Keep going through it. Mark Barron, we talked about. Steelers, defensive end Cam Hayward with a knee, tight end Vance McDonald with a foot, and cornerback Artie Burns with a toe are all listed as questionable for the Steelers. The Vance McDonald thing you have to keep in mind because Jesse James saw some targets last week, but Vance McDonald would take some of those if he's out there. The one big injury for the Steelers, their best offensive lineman, David DeCastro, broke his hand. He's out, or he's doubtful. I don't think he'll play, but it's something to keep an eye on for the James Conner running game. If you feel impacted by that, Joe Hayden is also doubtful for the Steelers. We talked about Marquise Goodwin. And the last one is Will Fuller. He's questionable, as is DeAndre Hopkins. Sammy Coates and Kiki Kuti are both out. But the one thing on Bill O'Brien, when asked if he is confident wide receiver Will Fuller will play Sunday, O'Brien replied, yep. And Fuller is questionable with a hamstring. So I'm not going to look
too much. I'm not using any speed receiver with a hamstring injury.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm with Scott on that one. Although he does, you know, I mean, Deshaun Watson loves to get him the ball. They played very well together. But I'm with Scott. Any wide receiver with a hamstring injury is definitely somebody you have concerns with not finishing a game.
I think that's the definition of a contrarian play. If you pick Will Fuller with a bad hamstring going up against what could be. I mean, Tennessee's going to want to make it a fist fight. They're not going to be able to keep pace with Houston going up and down the field with no tackles and a hurt quarterback and God, it's just the worst Super Bowl pick ever after week one. So Rob Gronkowski comes in at number one, a tight end. This is, again, PPR ranking. Zach Ertz at number two, Travis Kelce at number three, Jordan Reed all the way at number four. I can't disagree with Scott. When he's healthy, he's a really big point threat and a touchdown threat, certainly. George Kittle comes in at number five. He's a very, very popular DFS play this week. Trey Burton at number six, Kyle Rudolph at seven, Jack Doyle at eight. There's a pub in our street. Gabe Morrissey and I were joking about this because he said something on air about Jack Doyle sounding like the name of a pub. Gabe said that without knowing there's an actual pub on the street where we film this show named Jack Doyle's Irish Pub. So it's literally 50 yards from this studio where we are in Midtown Manhattan. Right, and it is a dedicated Vikings bar. For those of you that don't know, in Manhattan, there are, it's like any city, but Manhattan is such a melting pot that there are dedicated city bars. So you have your Patriots bars and Vikings bars and Packers bars and all the like. So it is a Vikings bar right down the street from us, and they'll be going up against Aaron Rodgers, a gimpy Aaron Rodgers today. So I'll stop at Jack Doyle at number eight. The popular DFS plays are Gronk in cash games, although he is not as heavy of a play this week. Your second tier in Ertz and Kelce are popular, but really George Kittle is the big-time value with Marquise Goodwin out. Scott, I'll let you comment.
Yeah, you know, and I think you know, you can't trust Pierre Garçon anymore. And, you know, Dante Pett, he's probably going to see a lot of Darius Slay this week too. Dante Pettis had a nice opener, but, you know, he's still a rookie quarterback. So, I think Kittle is the guy. Garoppolo is going to be throwing at somebody. And I think, you know, it's going to be a lot of Kittle there. Garoppolo is going to have a nice rebound week. And, although I don't trust a rookie, I do think Pettis is a nice play if you lost Goodwin for this week.
Jim, I guess the concern with Garçon is that he'd be going up against Darius Slay, conceivably, with Goodwin out there. Slay matches up against Garçon, matching up a very skilled corner against I don't know. It's hard to define Garçon at this point. He's a bigger receiver, but he's not getting as much separation as he once did. I thought he's been a bit underrated throughout the preseason, and I think he has an opportunity for targets today, but it could be in a tough matchup against somebody like Darius Slay.
Well, not only that, I mean, we didn't see him in the preseason playing much at all. He wasn't involved last week. The one thing we've seen out of Garoppolo as a starter is that he has his favorite receivers and he locks onto them. We saw that last year with Goodwin and Kittle. We saw it in week one with Kittle definitely being highly involved. And, you know, I think defenses at some point are going to start to realize that he has his favorite receivers and they're going to try and take him out of the game. I love Kittle this week, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if all of a sudden he's seeing, you know, double coverage because they know Garoppolo likes to look for that one guy. To me, you know, I know that Kittle is highly owned, but to me, I think Doyle is a much better play this week than Kittle, especially in FanDuel where he's, you know, cheaper. No, he's same price. I'm sorry. Bad handwriting. Sorry about that. Same price as Kittle, but I expect him to really continue to be involved with this dink and duck luck. One thing we saw with him, he played 77 out of 82 snaps last week, caught 7 out of 10 targets. He's going to continue to be that kind of big reception total guy for them. And I think he has a good shot this week to get in the end zone. So I like Doyle a lot this week.
Scotty, you're Jack Doyle. Along with me, you're Jack Doyle's biggest fan. He's a big-time secondary value on DFS plays today, but you've liked him all throughout the preseason. You drafted him high in many instances, and I think you're going to see some return on a day like today, as Jim said.
Yeah, 13 PPR points. You know, he was clearly the number one tight end. You know, Eric Ebron didn't see anywhere than me the amount of snaps that he did. You know, of course, he did get in the end zone. But look, Doyle, 13 PPR points last week. And in that short passing game, you know, he's like receiver 1A to me.
Keep going down through the ranks a few more. We go down to Evan Ingram at 9, Jimmy Graham at 10, Jared Cook at 11, Eifert 12, Ebron 14. Sorry, 13, and Juco 14, Ricky Seals-Jones 15, Jonnu Smith, Jesse James, Ian Thomas. I guess the one thing I would ask about these values here is we saw three, well, I'll include Jared Cook here. I would never draft Jared Cook. I've never thought much of him as a player, but he had a monster week, 9 for 180. I don't expect that to happen or even close to it again this year. But people picked him up everywhere. They also picked up Jonnu Smith as Delanie Walker's backup. They picked up Will Disley because he arrived on the scene. And they picked up Ian Thomas as Greg Olsen's backup, as Greg Olsen is out long-term, maybe forever. So what do you do with that bunch of four? Cook, Smith, Thomas, and Disley, Scotty.
With Cook, you know, it's not a great matchup. You would think when you just look at the team, but you got to look deeper than that. Will Disley burned them for 105 yards last week, and Will Disley's a rookie tight end who's more known as a blocker. So if they're going to attack anything, you know, maybe it will be with the tight end. He's not going to have the numbers that he did last week. You know, then moving on, you know, look at Disley himself. He had a nice opener last week, but you know, really. You know, I can't trust that he rebounds there. You know, that could be like one game that we remember for a long time, and you never hear from him again. So, you know, kind of concerned about that too.
Jim, thoughts about that group?
Well, I'm going to go with Scott on Disley. I mean, Disley caught everybody by surprise last week. Everybody expected him to be a blocker, you know, to be involved that way where he gets 100 yards and a touchdown. Nobody saw that cat coming. But, look, let's face it, three catches for 100 yards and a touchdown doesn't really thrill me as somebody who's being highly involved. He got a great play and scored on it, and that, you know, that's always nice. But, of course, he wasn't on any fantasy lineups anywhere last week, so he didn't help any of us. I don't think he surprises anybody anymore. I think Nick Vinette is really the guy that's going to be the starter until Dixon comes back as a receiving tight end. But, you know, it's hard to count on Disley. Ian Thomas is a guy I like in Carolina because we know Newton likes to throw to his tight end. Thomas is a big, strong tight end who, you know, could make some waves, especially in the red zone. So, you know, he's a guy that I don't think – if you want to go contrarian in at tight end this week in DFS, I think Ian Thomas could be that play because he costs you nothing.
Yeah, a slight weather.
From a talent perspective, I think you got to like Thomas a lot, and even had a touchdown during the preseason. But especially in a seasonal league, like with DFS, take a shot, especially in a tournament, because that might be a difference maker. But in the seasonal league, opportunity doesn't always lead to production, especially for a rookie tight end. We all have to remember those rules when we draft, that rookie tight ends very rarely make an impact. You very rarely see an Evan Ingram. So Ian Thomas could get the opportunity and just, he might be invisible out there.
Yeah, one weather note that I just saw, and maybe it's not news to anybody, but I just saw that the weather in Pittsburgh is going to be 77 degrees and sunny, which when we're talking about a high total game, you get a sunny day in Pittsburgh, that's a point fest, right, Scott?
Yeah, and especially with the Steelers' injuries in their secondary and how bad the Kansas City secondary is. You know, if you go into Monmouth Park and, you know, you want to do something easy, you know, you bet the over on this game because it'll probably be the highest scoring game of the week between the Steelers and the Kansas City Chiefs. The over is 53. So I'm definitely taking the over.
The other over I like this week is, I'm looking for it right now, is 48.5. It's Detroit and San Francisco. I do think there'll be some points scored in that one. So, you know, I'll give you a couple of quick notes on tight ends here. Cheap plays are Griffin and Ian Thomas. This is Daily Roto plays. Another really good value is David Njoku. We talked about him a little bit. I'm not overplaying the type of player that I think Njoku is, but in a game script where they might have to be throwing the ball, and Njoku is priced at 5,300, which is slightly below Jack Doyle and Eric Ebron, O.J. Howard's right in front of Ricky Seals-Jones, Ben Watson from that same game, and even Jared Cook. But Jim made a point to me during the break about as we have new people coming in that may not be as familiar with DFS, you want to understand what's the difference between a good cash play and a good tournament play. Here's a reality. You can obviously use those one player in both cash and tournament lineups, But what you're really trying to do in tournaments, in larger tournaments, is have a differentiated lineup. So you hear us talk about stacking, which is using multiple players from a particular team or a particular game. You're trying to differentiate with your stack to make sure that you have maybe three guys from one team and one team on the other if you're going to game stack it. But really, your cash plays are your more solidified plays, the ones that you feel most guaranteed, even regardless of ownership, are going to deliver. So James Conner at $7,000. And Alvin Kamara at 9,500. The problem is Alvin Kamara is tough to fit into lineups, and many people may not use him in a tournament because he's so expensive. So in a tournament where there's 1,000 people, or in some cases hundreds of thousands of people, you're trying to have a low owned player that can differentiate you from the rest. And sometimes it is riskier. I'll explain more of that when we come back after the break and do our survivor picks. It's Mike, Jim, and Scott on FNTSY. We'll be back after this.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Well, Gabe Morrissey coming back from the break. It's Mike, Jim, and Scott closing it out here. Let's do some defense stuff, and we'll talk about DFS plays of the week. We'll do our survivor pool picks as well. But before, you know, since we're talking about DFS and the tournament versus cash thing, and I'll continue that discussion right after I do this, but you really should know that last Sunday, and I think I mentioned earlier in the show, another DailyRoto.com subscriber won $1 million playing daily fantasy football. That makes $7 million winners that are subscribers to the site. So you heard that right. Seven DailyRoto.com subscribers have now won $1 million. So head on over to DailyRoto.com and click on Go Premium. Find out how you can party with our successful community of daily fantasy players. You can get in on the Slack chat, get some ideas from them, but also play around with the optimizer tools and a variety of other things that can help you get there. So if it's sports wagering you're into, click on the sports betting tab or go to dailyroto.com/betting, where you'll be able to use the same tools and algorithms for money line picks, picks against the spread, game totals, and the use of a player props tool that can now be turned loose to forecast spectacular game performances they can now capitalize on without having to worry about salary caps. It's dailyroto.com and click on Go Premium, the industry website where millionaires are made, literally. So to continue the cash tournament discussion,
Can I say something?
Absolutely.
Yeah. About Daily Roto, I got to tell you, I love the lineup optimizer.
Yeah.
I haven't been using it that long, so it's kind of new to me, but I love the fact that you can go in and build groups to build up stacks in your lineups when you do it. And there's so many different ways to configure it to what you like or what you prefer, what you think might happen, add a little here, take away a little there. It just gives you so many different looks at what you could do once you run the optimizer and look at all the different lineups it comes up with, that it's just amazing to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say these guys really, you know, they're part of our company, so clearly I'm going to talk about them positively, but I can't stress enough how quality the content is. The way the tools are built, you can play around with market shares or point totals to impact certain values and play around with lineups. You can sort by the value of their price tag, which is something I do often if I'm putting together lineups quickly, particularly cash lineups. And there's articles written to support this, not to mention a podcast. And I said this the other day on FST on Friday with Dave Martinez. Scott, there's so much information coming at us, and there's a variety of different places you can get it, from Twitter to the articles you read on a variety of different sites and research that we're doing on our own. At the end of the week, it is really hard for me to have listened to podcasts. Obviously, I listen to our shows here, your show, Jim's show with Corey. You know, I'm doing a show during the week. But it's hard for me to listen to external podcasts with any regularity. And I shouldn't even say it's external since it's technically part of our company. But the absolute one podcast I listen to every week is the DailyRoto.com weekly podcast, along with its Saturday update. It's usually Mike Leone and Drew Dinkmeyer. We'll have Drew Dinkmeyer on here in a half an hour. I can't stress the information enough. When you pair that with the article that they write every week, you will get a sense of the players that they feel good about, and you can build cash and tournament lineups just based on that. You can use their tool some, but I can build lineups just based on that and be a winner. So I can't stress it enough, and I know you use DailyRoto.com for all your information as well.
Yeah, I certainly do. And, you know, you want to have credible people that you know that have won and, you know, that have produced winners. And, you know, that's why you go there. And, you know, I know certainly for baseball, whenever I've won in the past, you know, if I'm in a rush, I could just read, you know, their rundown for the day and, you know, throw a pretty good lineup for it there too. And it's a good time of year to play DFS baseball because everybody's playing football right now. You might see less people in the baseball fields, and they carry you right to the end there. But, you know, football's the number one thing, you know, over at Daily Roto, but whatever other sport you want to play too, they have you covered.
Yeah. So I'll continue. I'll wrap up the discussion on cash versus tournament. So, Jim, you know, you and I were, again, speaking during the break. I think the real thing for people to know is that you can – what you really want to do in tournaments is be differentiated, and sometimes those plays can be a little bit higher risk. So, for example, like Corey Davis isn't a good example because they're so banged up right now. I would tell everybody to kind of avoid that. But in tournaments, like Jordan Reed, we'll take that at tight end. Now, Gronk is a good cash play, but he's expensive. So Jordan Reed, you go to where his price is on FanDuel right now, it's at $6,200. But I've already told you that the best values on the board are George Kittle at $5,600 and David Njoku at $5,300. So Daily Roto is not in a vacuum. They're using a lot of industry references as well, and industry patterns can sometimes follow what they're doing, even though they will differentiate themselves. But Kittle will be heavily owned, and Njoku will be heavily owned. You can make a pivot by paying up a little bit for Jordan Reed, and you'll be differentiated there. That's why he's a little bit of a tournament play, because we also don't have a sense that he will see as many targets as Kittle or Njoku. But if Reed sees, you know, your six targets, and he's the red zone guy today, and he sees two scores, then you've returned a huge value on it. Whereas Kittle, we probably feel pretty good about him seeing, I don't know, nine targets today. And that's really the reality. It's just more a little bit more predictability and assurance on cash games. It's not 100% assurance, but a little bit more assurance that the cash games are a little bit safer and the tournaments are a little bit risky. Do you feel like I described it well, Scott?
Yeah, I think you do, and I like Jordan Reed at 6,200 today. You want to take more gamble. You want to take more risk. To me, playing a cash game is you know, you want to look for a guy where you have a certain floor, whereas, like you say, you want to differentiate yourself you know, more in those tournament type of plays. So, like, you know, if I'm playing a cash game, you know, I still like on FanDuel, I like Jack Doyle a lot at tight end for 5,600. But if I'm playing in a tournament – and you know, knowing what Jared Cook did last week, and nobody's really on Ricky Seals-Jones, who I like a lot, like at 5,200 on FanDuel, like he's my tournament play. So Doyle would be my cash game play at tight end, and Seals-Jones would be my tournament play because I don't think he's going to have a lot of high ownership.
Yeah, and I think you got to be careful when you're building those tournament lineups too. They can't all be high risk players. You build your cash lineup and then swap a couple of cash guys out with a couple of higher risk tournament guys, and that can differentiate it just enough. So there you go. So, Jim,
right. You don't want to go fully away from the chalk in a tournament.
That's right.
You just want to have a couple of guys that differentiate you from the more owned players.
Yeah, I'm standing up here with my microphone because I want to get the winning lineup from last week. The guy won $1 million. And I have it here somewhere.
Well, he must have had Fitzmagic on it.
He did. His lineup, he played a bunch of lineups, and Fitz was his QB there. I promise you I'll find it here somewhere. Here it is. I found it.
He might have had a stack like DeSean Jackson or something
like
that.
That's exactly right. In fact, DeSean Jackson was really the key player in the lineup because he was extremely low owned last week. Fitzpatrick was a really good pivot. He wasn't a popular tournament play by any means, but there were people that were floating that out there because he could get caught in that game script, the 48-40 type game script. But his running backs were Kamara and Connor, fully chalk guys. Michael Thomas was a chalk play too. But he went Kenny Stills, which was clutch. DeSean Jackson, which was extremely clutch. He had Gronk. That was a chalk play all the way. And Gronk returned good value. He had 2X value. He was 7,900. He returned 19.8 points. He had David Johnson in the flex, which was a good, ended up being a good, not great play. But a huge play for him. DeSean Jackson was really clutch for him, as was Stills, but a huge play for him was Miami returning that kickoff for a touchdown late in the game. It provided him with 13 points in a situation where almost nobody owned the Miami defense. So that differentiated him a lot. 13 points, it wasn't a crazy return like you saw with some other teams like the Ravens or whatever, but that's the winning lineup. It scored 244 points. I think he won it by about 2 points, and he came in first out of 457,385 entries. Now, there's articles on dailyroto.com. We interviewed the guy, basically, by email. He was interviewed, asked him a few questions. I will say this. Skip Bitter, before he won this, he was a sharp guy. He lays it all out there in the article. He practices palliative medicine. He's a very smart guy, but he's also played competitive poker, competitive bridge. He knows what he's doing when it comes to DFS. But this lineup in particular, he was working last Sunday while it was ongoing, so he didn't put up in as many lineups. He clicked through, I think, using the optimizer, one of our tools. It ended up with that lineup, got him pretty close to it, and that's how he won. So obviously you can see there is plenty of chalk in there with Kamara, Connor, Gronk, and Thomas. But the pivots are Fitzpatrick. Stills was actually becoming a popular DFS value, but the pivots really were Fitz, DeSean Jackson, and the Miami defense. And the rest of it is kind of chalky,
Scott.
I didn't
even like Stills last week going against the Tennessee secondary. So I think that might have been something of a differentiator too.
Yeah. So there you go. That gives you a sense of what can win you $1 million. So let's go to let's try to win people $1 million this week. Let's go to some of our plays. First of all, let's get your survivor pool picks. I'm going with the Saints. I'm running right back to the Saints after hitting on the Ravens last week here. So, Jim, who do you got?
I'm going with the Rams. I'm taking the easy pick. I think they have a big game. I think they take it outright easily.
And Scotty?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Houston Texans with probably Blaine Gabbert at quarterback.
He can't get away from the Titans.
Injuries on the Tennessee offensive line.
He can't get away from the Titans in this pool.
Nope.
So, despite the fact that Scott didn't win his pick last week, we'll just keep him alive to give you a recommendation on a week-to-week basis. So, how about DFS lineups? You guys have anything lined up? I'll go with mine since I have mine right in front of me. And I actually make some tweaks to this, but I have Jimmy G as my quarterback position. He's a good second tier value. It's a cash lineup on FanDuel. I'll go within Alvin Kamara. I'll go straight chalk against the Browns. Christian Kirksey, their middle linebacker, is out. So that's a key injury to their defense. We all know the Josh Gordon thing, and it's the Browns on the road, and they haven't won a game in a really long time. Alvin Kamara, James Conner, another chalk play, but we love the high implied total there for the Steelers at 29.5. It's the highest implied total on the board. Julio Jones at 8,500. Julio's might be more tournament viable than cash viable, but I'm going with him here. Kenny Galladay. And in fact, so here's a case in point. I'm probably going to switch this because Julio is a little bit more of a tournament play. I do like him up against these corners in Carolina, but to Scott's point, he's a little wonky on Matt Ryan's consistency or inconsistency. So Julio's probably a little bit more of a tournament play. I can make that switch. But another good cash play that I like is Kenny Galladay. He's at 5,700 on FanDuel. Nelson Aguilar comes in at 6,500. George Kittle there at 5,600. It's almost a little bit of a Detroit San Francisco game stack in a cash game, which I should try to get away from. But the next one is Tevin Coleman. I think he's got to be in all your lineups here, 5,900. And then I picked the Rams defense, chalky, but I think Sam Bradford's going to have a rough day there if he even finishes the game. So there's my cash lineup. Scott, I'll go to you next.
All right, this is my tournament lineup on FanDuel. Case Keenum at 6,700 against Oakland. James Conner, 7,000. Love him. Jay Ajayi, 6,800. He'll get into the end zone again this week.
I like
week.
The Ajayi call.
Tyreek Hill at wide receiver, 8,100. Keenan Allen at 8. Sorry. Keenan Allen.
Scott's allergic to his own lineup.
8,000. Yeah. Emmanuel Sanders at 6,800. Ricky Seals-Jones at 5,200. Christian McCaffrey at 7,400, and the Jets defense at 3,700.
That's Corey Parson busting your chops in the background, Scott. You can hear
that.
Yeah,
I have a fortune cookie here this morning. You know, I wanted to read about Corey. I'm eating some Chinese food this morning. It said, you know, like the Cleveland Browns, Corey has a second string chub.
Don't.
That's not bad. Not bad.
Can I get in my DraftKings line?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Got a few different ones, but I'm going to start with this one. I got Drew Brees at QB at 7,200. I got Connor at 6,700. I got Tevin Coleman at 5,300. Antonio Brown at 8,800. Michael Thomas at 8,600. Mohamed Sanu at 4,000. David Njoku at 3,000, and then Kittle in my flex at 3,800, and the Texans as my defense at 2,600.
Interesting. So it's a good call on the two tight ends here, because the Daily Roto guys actually did mention that this could be a week for a two tight end play, and those are the two guys that they would likely pick as Kittle and Njoku situation with two game stacks or two game scripts that are favorable. I like the Drew Brees, Mike Thomas thing. You know, I'll say it again. I think I said it last week. We had Colin Drew on from Daily Roto on right before the season started, and we talked about stacking and stacking in tournaments. And he said your best bet to differentiate yourself is to go with four or more players from the same game. But you want to do it. This is for tournaments. You want to do it three players on one side and get the opposing skill player on the other.
One on the
other. For example,
right.
Jim's got Brees and Thomas. You could do a Brees, Kamara, Thomas, which would be expensive, but then flip it over to Njoku on the other side, maybe from a value standpoint or a salary standpoint, that helps you out. So there you go. Defenses, any sneaky defenses you guys like today? I heard you say that the Texans.
How about the Cowboys?
No, I'm not playing the Cowboys, Corey.
No.
I think they're going to lose. I think they're going to lose.
Even the people in Texas don't like the Cowboys.
That might be a good pick, yeah.
Yeah. I think the Cowboys are. I think we might have a rough one tonight.
I'd go with New Orleans. They're going to bounce back in a big way, I think, after that disastrous performance last week.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good one.
I have to say, I love the Texans this week. The Texans, I think, are the best value on the board at 2,600 on DraftKings, yeah. No doubt in my mind, against this Tennessee
team. The
Jets are
only 3,700 on FanDuel.
I think the Jets is a pretty good call.
How aggressively they played last week.
Yeah, look, they played a great game. I thought the way that they were prepared to play against Matt Stafford was the type of Todd Bowles defense that he expects to have. So I think that is a pretty interesting play. You got Washington there at 3,700. Luck is not afraid of a turnover, even when he's healthy. He's not afraid of one. As far as other ones down the list, I don't think you really want to go with Atlanta with all kinds of injuries. I mean, it'll be low-owned, I can tell you that. Beyond that...
sometimes they're low-owned for a reason.
That's damn skippy, you know, Jim
Mike,
Day.
You were talking about the kick returns, you know, last week and how Miami made the difference in the millionaire maker. So, you know, you might want to consider, you know, who has a good kick return game, who has bad special teams, you know, when you make you just can't think of the defense itself.
Yeah. Kansas City comes into play there.
No, yeah, you definitely have to incorporate returns.
Yeah, Kansas City comes into play there. So, thanks for joining us on Fantasy Sports Today, Game Day Edition. It's Lineup Lock Live next with myself, Corey, and Gabe. For Jim Day and Scott Engel and Sean Engel producing, we're out. Talk to you next week. Good luck.